The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Unlimited broadband so you can download, upload and stream as much as you like.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is, of course, Tuesday morning. That's the 30th of June 2020 at 3 minutes past nine. We're here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan at rte.ie. So what do we got for you today? Well, mixed bag of things. We're always happy to hear from you, as I say, 51551 or whatever ails your, keeps you happy. I think that we had great fun yesterday talking about looking at hairdressers and barbershops reopening, and that was great. I made a quick dash to my local barber and got that thatch sorted out, and it feels good. It doesn't look good, but it feels, now it looks fine, but it does feel good because you've just kind of felt that barnet was part of that time. And now with the release of certain restrictions lifted and so on, and the hair cut, I think you do feel good about yourself and the world a little bit. And yet a cloud hangs over the head, because I'm not so sure. I think it looks good. What I'm very heartened about is I don't think people went mad yesterday. I think people felt we were all going to be queuing outside pubs trying to get half a glass of Guinness, and that we're all going to be going for a packet of peanuts. All that stuff, it didn't really happen. I think people were very civilised, very decorous, very mindful of each other, from what I gather. Am I wrong? Am I right? I don't know. I just felt people got it right. And when I say that, I mean the barbers, the hairdressers, the pub owners, the hotel owners. They just seemed to, they were prepared, they were mature, they were wise, and the punters, like us, went along with it all. And I think this bodes well in that regard. I'm going to try the pint thing at some point. I didn't go for it last night. Might try it tomorrow. We'll see how the pod reservation policy goes. But I really want to try and get a sense of it this week. He says trying to masquerade pint drinking from research. But no, truly, there's a combination of the two, is there not? And yet, don't forget Dr. Tony Houlihan. And why am I asking you to remember him? Because I think he's being forgotten a little bit. I think that the government formation talks and the actual event itself in the convention centre has been enormously important. But it's also left, in some ways, NFET a little bit to the left of the stage, not of the political spectrum, of the stage. And he's soft-spoken, but he has a lot of things to say. And I think at the weekend and last night he was saying again, I get the sense, and I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but I get the sense he's uncomfortable with people getting on a plane and leaving this island and going anywhere else in the world for fear of what they'll bring back with them. And again, if I'm wrong, send in an email and I will correct it. But I just get the sense that he's not happy about that. And there's a terribly difficult marriage being made here of people who are saying, to hell with that. It's our right and our turn to fly if we want to. We've booked flights. We deserve it. We've been punished enough and it's our turn. That's fine. If you feel that way, fine. But I would urge you to listen to what the chief medical officer says, which tends to be, if you go, you could reinfect. Look up Leicester today if you haven't seen a newspaper or online. Look up Leicester in the UK and see what they're doing. They're closing down again. They had opened all that stuff we saw yesterday, the barbers, the restaurants, the pubs, they're gone again. Look up Texas in the United States of America, where they're pulling in 10,000-11,000 new cases per day because they just screwed it up royally. And we need to be cognizant of that. Again, what would I do if I was in charge? I'd be this close to saying, if the chief medical officer says, please don't fly, I would say, don't fly. Make it a rule. Make it a law. And I know people say, we can't transit the freedom of movement and all that. This is about freedom of life, not about movement. And we have to be so careful. And if you doubt the level of pain that this virus has caused, and you didn't see RTE Investigates Inside Ireland's COVID battle last night, watch it back this morning. And if your kids doubt what happened, what's been happening in the hospitals around this country and what the frontline staff have been going through and what the patients have been going through and what the infected people have been going through and what their families have been going through, waiting by phones so that somebody in the hospital can put a phone in a plastic bag to their face before they die to say goodbye. If you've missed that bit, if you missed that memo, watch that program last night, because this thing hasn't gone away. Now, I'm not in charge of anything. I'm simply concerned for all of us. I think it's really important. And that program last night was, I was saying to the guys this morning, if you'd said 6 months ago, and I'll stop in a minute, right? I realize I'm going on, but I will just finish by saying this. If you'd said to me 6 months ago, I'm going to make a program, I'm going to make a horror film about Ireland in the future, and you put it together, that program last night is a horror film in the course of an hour, part one of two. And it's a horror film to show what things look like when they go horribly wrong and a pandemic visits itself upon a great country. And my goodness, the greatness of the people in that country is only exemplified by the people on all sides of the hospital wards and units and corridors in those hospitals featured last night all around the country. Because we forget about the pain, we forget about sometimes the hard work. It's amazing. So I keep saying tread carefully. I don't know if you saw Siobhan Killeen last night sitting beside Tony Houlihan. She's a Dublin forward and a Republic of Ireland international. And she spoke of the guilt she felt when she was diagnosed with COVID-19 because Dr. Houlihan has warned about the rising cases in those under the age of 35. Siobhan Killeen is 27. And she's warned that she didn't think the disease would have such an effect on her. She said she was naive, thinking, I'm 27, I'm fine. Nothing going to happen here. And she felt guilty then in case she put her family or friends at risk. This is the thing. If you go away on the foreign holidays, you come back and say, well, hey, I'm 21, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not going to get it. And if I get it, I may be asymptomatic. And if I get it, I'm not going to be sick. But it's who you make sick when you come home on the other side. That's the message, remember, from the early days? Anyway, she was pretty impressive, Siobhan, last night on the news. She said, 3 months after my diagnosis, I'm still on the long road to full recovery and that it would take 2 weeks to feel the worst of the virus. But she said that the weeks and months following my isolation were the toughest. And I was fatigued, fitness levels deteriorated, shortness of breath and exercising. And I had feelings of worry. And she was very strong on that. But just it was a very salutary note to say, you're not some class of superhero. If you get this thing, or you're asymptomatic and you're young and you think you're going to live forever, it's the parent or the grandparent or the friend of the underlying illness who you're hanging out with who might get it. Look, I'm sorry if this all sounds very preachy, but it's just looking at around the UK, the world and Ireland. I just feel it's a protective thing for me, for my family, for you, for all our families. We have to wear masks now in the supermarket. You just have to. And I know it's awkward and it's annoying, but you have to. We have to get that number up from the 40. What's it, hanging around 40%? That's a D. It's a D. Okay. In happier news, eh? Shall we pick it up a little bit? Come on. Nearly July. In happier news. Don't I hear Shay talk about this morning? School's out for summer. School's been out since spring. It was the most flat, anticlimactic end of the school year for any of them. God help us. Shout out to Anderson's Bar and Grill in Sligo. Okay, they delivered 100 meals a day to vulnerable people throughout the lockdown. They didn't charge a cent. That's the good stuff. I've heard amazing things about the dinners and the delivery drivers, so well done, folks. Good on you. Thanks, Val, for telling us about that. Anderson's Bar and Grill in Sligo, take a bow. And there's another pub having a bit of fun with the restrictions being lifted. McGowan's Pub, which you may or may not know in Phibsborough, popular for young people, for singles to mingle apparently. And to keep the McGowan vibe going, the family pub, they've devised a brilliant phone solution. Each table, as well as the bar, they're hooked up to an internal grid, keeping everyone connected despite the physical distance. So there are these little phones on all the tables. So you can presume they're all cleaned down and everything. And so the owner of the bar, Kira, said the idea was because McGowan's is known for singles mingling and socialising, people coming for the crack and a drink to make a few friends, you can pick up the phone and say, how's it going? What? who's on the phone? So it's kind of it's a novelty, but it's fun, and they're thinking cleverly. We're only open an hour here, she says, as of yesterday, and people are already ringing each other, socialising from 20 feet away and from each other, according to DublinLive.ie. They're all taking pictures and putting them on social media. Everybody eating, having a few drinks, and they're delighted just to be out. And that's the good news story. I mentioned Leicester already, so I'll gloss over that. The other thing is to say to you is that lovely message from Valerie Clancy. She spoke to us last Friday about sending the Beano to her grandson while they were in lockdown. Well, she got to see her grandchildren yesterday at last, sent us the pictures as requested. Thank you for those, Val. And there they are with the Beano, and many copies, and more importantly, big smiles, lots of love, lots of proximity. And that's another happy story. So thank you indeed for that. Aretha Franklin, the movie. She was Aretha herself was a producer on this film that isn't out yet, but it's on the way. But they did release the trailer for the movie. And the reason I want to say this is because when Rocketman got it so right, I loved Rocketman, the movie based on Elton John. I preferred it to Bohemian Rhapsody, which was another film that I really liked. However, they're trawling through all these great singers and so on. The Jennifer Hudson Jennifer Hudson is going to play Aretha Franklin. Now, Jennifer Hudson, I know from The Voice UK, which she would be a judge on, and she's been obviously in I think Dreamgirls and movies like that. So, does she have the chops to play Aretha Franklin in this movie? I think the answer is probably yes, judging by this. So here's Jennifer Hudson as Aretha Franklin.
What you, ooh, baby, I got, ooh, what you need, ooh, you know I got it, ooh, all I'm asking, ooh, is respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
That sounds really cool. It just jumps out. Okay, that's Jennifer Hudson as Aretha. Wow, that sounded good. That shivers down the spine stuff. Scheduled for August. And you know what? The cinemas will be likely to be open, which means that's a cinema film. Imagine that sound. Wow. Let's take a little look at what you're saying on text. We have done so much, says the text. We have saved so many lives. Let's not screw this up. Let's do this for all the families who've lost loved ones and for all the frontline workers. Let's do it for the staff and the public service who worked all through the lockdown. Let's do it for Ireland. Stay at home this year. It's one summer. It's one more thing we're being asked to do. Let's not bring it back to this country. We've done really well. Let's continue, says a very concerned, proud Irish woman who's anxious. It's an Ireland thing. This is green jersey stuff as citizens. And, you know, I know that the committee are meeting today. Could somebody in the committee say, shut it down? Like, if you don't want people to travel, tell us not to travel. We've been good with the rules. It's not nice. We don't want to. We all want to go on a plane and travel to Spain and Italy and wherever we want to go. But just say to them, I'm afraid for one summer, you're actually going to have to plough all that money you're going to spend in bars in Spain and France and Italy. You're going to plough it into your own neighbours, towns, villages and counties. It needs to be said, says Marion Kildare, about flying abroad. This is about a personal moral decision taken for the greater good and the parking of our leisure needs for just a short while. Ireland is a beautiful country and at the moment it's the safest place to be. At the moment. Another says, Anne says, we don't want to be locked down in the dark, wet days of winter. Absolutely, which is why we should be partying away here in Ireland if you want to party or holiday. Tony Hoolan says, Siobhan in Killiney is right to be nervous for us as a country. Just look at what's happening in the UK and around the world. Correct. Another, a very nervous hotel worker says, I'm still crying for the poor patients and the beautiful staff. We need to be so, so careful. And we are being careful. And I think that's the thing, especially in Ireland. You saw what happened in yesterday. People were respectful and careful. I didn't hear any reports of people taking the mick and ruining it for everyone else. So, you know, we're in a good place, largely speaking. Anne and Mead says, RTÉ Investigates was a tough watch, but it was and is reality for those impacted and our amazing healthcare and frontline people. It should be a compulsory watch for all. We need to be careful and masks matter. I won't be flying anywhere. It's not over and it's hard to stay focused. It is. And that's why I'm so vocal about it this morning, because every now and again you have to say, stop, where are we? And just look around and try and make sure we just don't go back into the darkness again. So 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie. That program, RTE Investigates, congratulations to everyone who put it together, because it was not only salutary, it was well made, well produced. And to all the people who kindly gave their time to be participants in the program, that very generous. Families let them, they let us into their world. But it served a purpose, because it made us sit up, notice, and feel grateful and mindful of what needs to be done. 9:18 on Tuesday morning. Good to have you with us. Memories bring back your... Yeah, that's Maroon 5. I heard that recently. I thought, what a pretty song. I think I hear Packy Bell's canon. Are we overstating the fact, or is it just a pop song? Either way, very pretty song, and I think it's right for this morning. 51551 is the text number this morning. If last night's RTE programme wasn't enough, as a text on BBC Two, there was also an hour's insight into the daily work of an Italian doctor during COVID-19. It's a horrible, horrible virus. I work in the disability sector, says this text, and for some service users, a simple touch by the hand is their communication, and this has to be curtailed. Don't apologise for trying to get the message across. Well, I agree, and there was a line from one of the staff, frontline staff, who said that they're haunted at night by the sound of the zip going onto a body bag. That's what we're dealing with. We must be careful, says Geraldine. Primetime Investigates did a splendid job on a horrific subject. That's why we must not forget or become complacent. Yeah, I'd like to see more of Tony Houlihan at the moment. That's the truth. Because I just think, as we get into that June, July vibe, the news tends to drift into a different level of relevance, sadly. But let's keep an eye on that. These deaths happened over 1,700 times. It was such a powerful program, says Sinead. It was. Column says, why do you think going to Spain is more dangerous than getting your hair cut? Most people going to Spain are going to their own houses and not some crazy packed hotel. I don't agree with you on any of this, actually. But anyway, the level of infection in the Malaga area is lower than in Ireland. So where is the big risk that makes it such a terrible idea to go? I tell you, the risk lies in groups of people going away on holidays, largely, not to maybe like yourself to your house in Malaga, but actually to hotels or to rented Airbnbs and so on, and partying and having the crack. And that's when you have the few scoops, and then the inhibitions dissipate, and then you're hugging and kissing and having the crack, and then good luck with that. In a moment, says a text of relief and excitement that the virus was receding, I booked a flight for my wife and myself to Malaga for August. I now see that was a mistake. The virus hasn't gone away. If we go to Malaga, then we'll be mixing with tourists from other countries with higher virus levels. We may catch it, or worse, carrying it home with us. In all conscience, the mistake was my own, and it would be downright careless, not to mention unpatriotic, to take that trip. I have no issue losing the money I paid. I pray the new government will step in and prevent all non-essential international travel and tightly regulate the arrival of incoming travellers to Ireland. Watching the RTE Investigates documentary last night helps remind and concentrate the mind on the situation we all find ourselves in. Stay at home this year. That sums it up. That is the most wise text I've read for a long time, because you were totally right to go, great, let's travel. I mean, it's exciting. And there's ads on the radio. This is Italy's open. Spain's open. Come and travel with it. And you can say, oh, well then, come on, what's the problem? And you had not only the wisdom, but as you say, the patriotic sense to mind yourselves and your families and all of us by not going. In relation to encouraging people to wear masks, if you stood outside your home, says the text, and clapped for our frontline staff during lockdown, or even felt gratitude privately for the work they did, and then don't or won't wear a mask while shopping, then you're a complete hypocrite. If they could wear one for 12-hour shifts in stifling heat while they worked, you can wear one for 20 minutes in a supermarket. That's the kind of text that's coming in. If people are... No one's angry, by the way, and it isn't about anger. It's just about care. We care about caring for the staff in the hospitals and the patients and each other. It's simple as that. 9:25.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just on Rachel, by the way, Rachel Gatto, if you want to find more about her, she also works as a corporate speaker and facilitator by going to her Instagram. Rachel V. Gatto and at Rachel Gatto on Twitter. And as Atlantic Sea Kayaking, I've been on to say she's an incredible inspiration to all of us who know her. Great to hear her being appreciated. Well done, Rachel. Nicely said. And Nick was a great trailblazer in the underwater world. His memory lives on with many of us, says Rory Golden. Good to hear from you this morning, Rory. You know what you're talking about. And then, of course, plenty in on the COVID need for concern. Seamus in Galway says, you're right to be concerned about COVID-19. It's difficult to eradicate a disease and very hard to prevent it re-emerging. Witness TB in cattle still around after 60 years of effort and continuous testing. I think it would be important to know where COVID outbreaks are so that people can be extra careful in those areas. We get accustomed to living with danger. And I think there's the danger that fatigue will set in if the information is too general. Wear masks. That message is critical for the safety of ourselves and others, and continues to follow HSE advice. As a nation, we've lost a lot of people and haven't really done that very well, although compliance has been good since Cheltenham. So let's continue to mind each other. Well said. The reaction of people travelling to Cheltenham, says Kieran, in March brought national outrage. Travelling abroad in the coming months will, in my eyes, be worse, as we now know the risks and the impacts of bringing this virus back to our island, our family, our friends and our fellow people. Stay at home and play your part. And yet another text says, we have a little old house in a remote village in France. We fly into a small airport. We're careful people. Why can't we travel to a virtually COVID-free area safely? I'm not going to be guilted into not going unless someone can show me that it's more of a risk than going anywhere else in Ireland, for example. And the guilt thing is a fair point. And maybe drop an email to Tony Houlihan and see if that's his plan. Is it about guilt or is it about health for the country? Please, says another, consider that this is not just people wanting to go on holidays. Many have family and loved ones in the UK and other countries that they haven't seen in months. Fair point. My partner lives in the UK. We haven't seen each other since early March. It's very hard listening to everyone saying that we should just wait until next year, when it is most likely that they can now meet their family and friends whenever they like. I would love if they brought in rapid testing options on return, and I would happily pay for it. I think, you know, for people going to see family, it feels like an essential journey and would tick that box. I think heading off for a baguette and a bottle of wine to your country house in the south of France, it might be not as essential. And I'm sure if you're in a position to do that, you're probably in a position to take somewhere nice on the west coast of Ireland for a couple of weeks, just for one summer only. That's my suggestion. And again, I'm taking it from what I'm hearing on the news at night. Okay, 51551 is the text number this morning. As always, I think we'll take a little piece of music. You can email, by the way, ryan@rte.ie. It's 7 minutes to 10. Let me tell ya. Virtual insanity is what we're living in. Yep, that's a very well aging. The song is aging very well. That's Jamiroquai. 51551. Let's take this one from Richard. I have huge concern for the several thousand students now planning to travel to Portugal this summer instead of the usual Magaluf J1 interrailing, all of which were cancelled. Now thousands of students are heading to Portugal to party with UK and German students. It's a cocktail for a total disaster. We'll make Cheltenham look tame. Try stopping them. That's the problem. It's a difficult one. It really is a conundrum. Jimmy Doyle from Brain Tumor Ireland was listening to Rachel's interview, says that if you want any information regarding that topic, braintumorireland.com has everything you need to know. It's an unbelievably sad story, says a listener in Clare. I hope Rachel finds peace and contentment for the rest of her day. She deserves it. And Eileen Doyle says, it's wonderful to hear Rachel. She speaks so much wisdom about life, and thank you for having her on your show. You're most welcome. We're delighted to have her. And we'll have more for you after this. Right, I've booked flights to go to stay with my family, says the text, for a few weeks in August. It's probably selfish of me. I probably shouldn't go, but after a really rubbish few months and losing my job for good, a hug from my mum feels like a necessity. I'll happily self-isolate when I get back. You speak sense, and I hope you get that hug. You deserve it. Holy moly, says the text, as the bright, chirpy voice started, that was Rachel earlier on. I was not expecting that story. What an amazing person to have come through all of that and to sound so happy in herself. It's a lesson to us all. Well said. And I suppose a salutary word of warning then from one last text says, if people do go abroad, and we could have the scenario with people crying to come home if there's an outbreak where they are and they can't get flights home. I remember that even our defence forces got stuck so badly abroad. So just to be mindful of that, I suppose. That's what we're going to leave for today. Thanks so much for your thoughtful and reflective texts and messages on email ryan@rte.ie throughout the day and into this evening. If you have time and inclination, we'd appreciate that. Stay tuned for Sarah McInerney. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.